Who's enjoying our series on Ephesians? Who's enjoying getting into the meat of God's Word? I don't think I've ever preached so deep in all my life. And the last 2 weeks, of course, we've had Lynette Tobin. And she actually, the verses, the chapters that I had given her, she actually said to me, "Nigel, do you think you could give me another one?" And so chapter 4, we haven't spoken a lot about, and it's probably that and chapter 5, some of the toughest passages of the whole of Ephesians, because they're about one thing, and I want you to say it with me: choose obedience. And Paul, who's noticed by now that Paul does not mess with his words? He's blunt. He is saying it how it is. And so I'm figuring that if the Bible says it how it is, then sometimes we need to hear it how it is too. Because I think that's important for us at times, because, you know, we have to make decisions based on the Word of God, even above some of the things that we would love to do. Right? Okay, so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And before we get started on this, I want to share actually a little story before we even read the scripture this morning, just change things up a bit. And maybe just let me start here. So this passage we're about to read in Ephesians 5 is about, like we've talked about, choosing obedience. But a lot of it is about what happens when we're disobedient. So we're going to talk about that too. But before we even get started on that, in chapters 1 to 3, for those of you who may be just visiting or haven't been here for the last few weeks, whatever the case may be, for chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians are about our life in Christ, what it means to be in Him. And so we receive Christ by faith into our lives. Like those people did this morning, we say, you know what? I'm going to trust Christ for my life from this day forward. It's the greatest thing we ever do in our entire life. It takes faith to continue to walk in Him. And who knows that that's often not easy? No, only my wife. Who knows that leading the Christian life is not easy? Only a couple of you. Obviously, you're not walking in faith, the rest of us. Because walking in faith is actually very difficult. Am I the only one that agrees this morning? Look, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, the hands are going up. And then chapter 4 to 6 is more about, Paul explains what it is to live as Christians. And so we get the whole basis of Christianity right here in Ephesians. And Paul has actually put it in the right order. See, it is not that we live a certain way and therefore we become Christians. It is rather that we become Christians and therefore we live a certain way. Is this sinking in already this morning? If we live a certain way to become Christians, then we would be saving ourselves by what we do. However, if we become Christians and then live a certain way, it is not through what we do, but rather what Christ has done in us. And so Paul is speaking about in this passage what it is to live according to what we are in Him. He is in us and He is transforming us, or He is not in us and we are not experiencing His transforming power. And so this goes back into Ephesians 4, and we haven't got time to go there this morning, but it also goes into chapter 5, and let's put this scripture up on the screen because it's really important for this week and next week. Next week I'm going to be talking about marriage. If you're not married, it's the best time to be in church. Yeah. If you are married, it's the best time to be in church. And because marriage, talking about marriage actually will help your life. Even if you're a single person, it will help you. And that's next week. Let the Holy Spirit fill and control you is all I want up on the screen, if that's okay. 18. Let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Say it with me. Let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. You see, the way I can describe this before we even read the passage of Scripture from Ephesians 5 is like this. There was this Four Corners show, which I happened to sit down, because Andrea loves deep things. And I wouldn't normally watch Four Corners. Well, not that Four Corners is that deep all the time, but it's just that Andrea likes that kind of stuff a lot more than I do. I'm an action man, you know? And so this. Anyway, I haven't got time to go into the differences. Maybe next week you can hear a little bit about that. But before so there's this show. It's a documentary of some communities in the Australian outback. Who loves our outback? What a great place to grow up and to learn about our lives here in Australia. Who's blessed to be in Australia, living in Australia? We should all be going, thank you, Jesus, considering what goes on in our world. We are so blessed by the peace that we have. And so, anyway, there's this show, and they're doing a documentary. The interviewer, and I think they're not being very unbiased, and they're talking to black people and they're talking to white people who live in these towns. A couple of towns in particular, and one town I'll mention as far as this story. And so what had happened was that all the people, but all the elders, white and black, had all wanted the same thing. They wanted better living conditions. We'd all agree with that. We all want better living conditions. We want better housing, they said. White and black people said the same thing for the whole towns in the outback regions. And then they said we'd like better business opportunities, which would look out for and help our children grow up better, because there's more money flowing in, which would help our children grow up in a better environment. Who knows, that's part of life that we enjoy. Now, unfortunately, through the greed of one particular man, and he was a white man, who had, he'd actually been sly. And he knew the government system, and he had infiltrated into the community and got the elders believing that his way was better. And he was deceptively siphoning funds that the government and the people had worked for, and the white people that had run the fuel stations and everything else in these communities, and all the money had pretty much dried up in these towns. Millions of dollars meant for the towns concerned, outlaid over a number of years because of this con man, were no longer. And so there was all these ongoing developments in the town that were meant to happen, and everything had just come to a complete halt, and it was almost like a ghost town, except there was people living there. And so thousands of people were affected. And the people said, you know what, we're surprised the town hasn't collapsed entirely, except where do we go? One man's disobedience, one man's sin, affected thousands and thousands of people. And the people are going, we don't know what to do. Let's read Ephesians 5. Just hold that story. Let's read Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 14. 5 to 14, actually. Let's go there. Ephesians 5, 5 to 14. And it says, you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is really an idolater. Say the word with me. Idolater. Who worships the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon all those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do, for though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil these things are, and where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds. This is why it says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Let me go back to let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. There's a story in the Bible about Saul and the Amalekites. And God actually sends a holy decree to Saul and the armies of Saul at that time, and asks them to go into the town of Amalek that had been against the Israelites once they'd come out from their oppression, out from into the Exodus and into their new life in God. And they were being led by God, but the Amalekite people had totally been against them. And so God sends out a holy decree, and he says, I want you to actually destroy this town and everything in it. And Saul, now this is Old Testament, okay? And God's come, there's peace now, but this is the way God worked in the Old Testament. You can ask him why in heaven. Okay? And so it's too big a subject right now, but I want you to get this. We need to obey what God says to us. Is that true? We need to obey what God says to us. And so Saul and the armies actually have a little conversation and say, you know, because it had come through Samuel, the prophet of God, and they really respected Samuel. You know, it's really good to respect leadership. Whether you agree with everything or not, it's the thing that God puts in place. So respect it. It's God's way. In the church, it's no different. We respect our leaders. It's a really important point. And so, but Saul goes behind Samuel's back and he gets with his armies, the generals and people, and he says, you know what? I know he said to just destroy everything, but gee, they've got some good sheep. And gee, they've got some good cattle. And you know what? These guys have got some fantastic jewelry. Let's keep all that stuff for ourselves. And the Lord appears to have a very glum moment. A very glum moment. This is what he said to Samuel. I don't know why I made Saul king. Who thinks that's pretty glum? What was I thinking? God saying this. I don't know why I made Saul king. He never listens. And he never follows. And he rarely obeys. That's a glum moment. The worst thing for any leader who is trying to uphold and advance the community is another leader or person who, rather than follow the instructions given and the laws in place, we're talking about the Word of God, dismisses them for their own selfish plan. Who knows, someone always leads the selfish plan as well as the good plan. And rather than unity and rather than progress, there ends up being division. Who knows that sin always brings division? Disobedience will always end in division. The fuel station, to give you an illustration for what I talked about earlier, in this remote town, lost much of its needed clientele. This white guy with his family that lived in this outback community, and the servicing of vehicles and the like, was no longer. His tears flooding down his eyes, just wondering what he was going to do and how he would be able to help restore, you know, even bring finances back into the community to help the whole community. You see, when we accept Jesus as the Lord of our life, we become kings and queens. For all the females here, turn to your neighbour and say you're a queen or a king. You see, we have everything available to us. We have everything available to us from the Lord. Everything available to us from the Lord. I said we have everything available to us from the Lord. I say it again, we have everything available to us from the Lord. We are blessed in every way through what He has done for us. But our human nature has a tendency to rise up, and rather than follow, we prefer to do things our way. I've never done that. Are we all on the same page here? Yeah. And sometimes, if we're really feeling disobedient or rebellious, we may not follow at all. And God simply asks us to follow His lead through the leadership in place. Whether we believe it or not, whether we like them or not, whatever government's in power or not, who knows who's going to... Anyway, let's... Why is this so important? So that the community grows healthy and strong. And when we think we have a better way, or a better plan, or simply don't do what has been asked, we are actually saying we know better. The Bible refers to this as idolatry. Live no longer, Ephesians 4:17, live no longer as the ungodly do. Live no longer as the ungodly do. So Paul is speaking about what it is to live according to what we are in Him. And so I want to talk to you more about living in disobedience to start with. The Holy Spirit works through unity. We've discussed this a few weeks ago. It always gets back to our hearts and whether we determine to follow God or our own selfish ways. To be a Christian, okay, all eyes on me for a moment, this is a really important thing. To be a Christian entails knowing sin, yet walking in obedience. Ephesians 5:10 and 11, try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. And so Paul is saying we must have a sense of the horror of evil, of the danger of walking in sin. When we think we know better, we are most likely sinning. When we take matters into our own hands, we may be sinning. I was talking about this with our Connect group a few weeks ago. We have a fantastic Connect group. I didn't know some of my guys in my Connect group, and I would encourage you to be a part of Connect group because we can help one another to walk in obedience through being in Connect group. And, you know, this is a brand new group that started this year, and none of these guys were really going to connect, and now I don't think we'd want to split up. We enjoy one another. Don't we, Catherine? Are you here? Good on you. And I was saying, I made this dumb decision. Am I the only one who makes dumb decisions sometimes? I made this decision a long time ago that put all my family actually into more jeopardy than I would have liked. And I did it mainly because I thought I knew better than what God was actually, I could tell you in my heart. You know, who knows, we sometimes get that, I don't know, in our spirit. But I overrode it. Here's the thing. Our human nature is to put our own selfish needs ahead of others. And the works of the old man of the flesh will bring division. And I love this, because if we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we have to go back to Galatians 5:22. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who'd like more self-control? There is no conflict with the law. When we're actually obedient to what God asks for us, there's no conflict. And so the law itself commands love. It does not isolate itself from others. It does not and cannot do its own thing because of what Christ has done in you. However manifold the results of the Holy Spirit controlling our lives are, his fruit will always form one harmonious whole. Ephesians 5:8 says this: your hearts were once full of darkness. Now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. Who knows that light is productive? And evil is barren. It leaves you always wanting. By its own nature, evil can only destroy. A plant without light is not going to be a healthy plant for very long. And what was once flourishing and a lovely green plant, who's ever done that? And it becomes yellow, you leave it inside for too long, eventually it just shrivels up and it dies. The light of Christ shining anywhere burns with cleansing, purifying, transforming power. And the light of Christ takes out the darkness. Where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds, we've read. His light shines on us so that we can become healthy and mature in him. Through the soil of the church, we grow in him. And here is the fact: when the light of Christ shines on you and I through our Christian community, if it shines clearly enough, consistently enough, and long enough, it must end in transforming our lives. And so disobedience is, sin is disobedience in your behavior to the law of God. And so idolatry is the first commandment, which says, put no other gods before me. So let's just spell it out before we move on to choosing obedience. Anything more important to you than me? Anything that gives you more meaning in life than I do? Anything that is a greater foundation for you than me? Anything above my word? Anything that gives you a greater sense of value or significance than I do? Anything you center your life on more than me? This is a God. And so like Saul, when we put ourselves and what we want above God's plans for our lives, we are saying that we know better than God. See, just to lighten this a little bit, who knows is good for us sometimes? This kind of... Andrea believes that speeding is a sin. I know I'm very careful with my words here. Andrea believes speeding is a sin. Shh, shh, shh. Be quiet, woman. And as she's already eloquently said, you know, she frequently tells me that the law is to be obeyed. I do not believe speeding is a sin. I, however, get speeding fines. And Andrea does not. Andrea tells me that the sin deserves punishment. But I disagree with her on the basis that some people deserve the fine, but not me. There are some nasty, bad hooligan drivers out there, but that's not me. I am a good person who speeds a little. What's the big deal? I don't deserve the fine, and that's that. And if I get the fine in the mail, what? Who knows that Andrea's right? Who knows that I'm right? All the men, only the men. So I have two board members that agree that speeding's okay. So. The truth is, as much as I hate saying it, I'm trying to get a point across here so we all get this. The truth is, if I am going to obey God's law, then I have to obey the law of the land, whether I like it or not. Even if I don't like the laws, because that's what the Bible says to do. Whether we like it or not, God's camera is on us. Come on, yeah, come on. I think Rugby's giving me a clap. So when our priority becomes ourself, we place ourselves over God. I'm saying, I don't care about the policeman. I do, tongue in cheek, okay? If I continue to speed, what I'm saying is it's okay to be disobedient in my behaviour. Andrew, say that, that's right. Thanks, love. More on that next week about marriage, because it's really, really going to be a good week, I'm telling you. You see, God gets really glum about our future in Him when we're disobedient. Yeah. And we think, hey, but that's okay. It's only speeding. But who knows that little things end up being bigger things. Yeah. And God's camera starts getting on us. Anyway, we need to move on. But when we choose sin, we put ourselves above all else. That's what we're basically doing. And like the plant with no light, we are saying that we prefer actually to die than choose life. That's deep. The Message Bible on verse 14 says this: wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. We are living in perilous times. And Paul is saying to every believer, both past and present, wake up. Awake. It's not a time to live in apathy, nonchalantly walking through life, doing as we please. The church must arise. And we have the light of Christ, and with it, we can pierce through the darkness. So here's the good news. All that to say this, we can choose to live in obedience. Now, the Bible spends a lot of time on disobedience, so I wanted to make sure that you got it. Who feels like they've got it? We can choose to live in obedience. Once you were in darkness, now you're in light. Once you were dead, doomed for forever because of your sins. Now, verse 15 to 20 says this. So be careful how you live. Not as fools. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a fool. But as those who are wise, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because this will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And you will always give thanks for everything to God, our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I choose to live for God because we owe Him everything. And I want to illustrate it this way. I've made up a little story. I'm going to read it. A poor young girl, plain to look at, who dressed humbly, worked in the fields of her village, farming the land. One day a prince came past the field she was working in on his horse and said hello to her. She was, when she thought of it, a little taken by this prince, but thought no more of the matter. And the next day the prince came past her field again and asked her how she was going and where she lived, to which the poor farm girl was a little embarrassed to say. The day after, the prince came again. And the day after that, and the day after that. And eventually, the prince brought the young plain girl a picnic lunch that they could share together with food she had never tasted before. And the prince kept stopping by. And one day, the prince asked for the young, poor, plain-looking girl's hand in marriage. And the poor girl was most taken aback that she would be looked upon in this way. She certainly did think herself, she didn't think herself worthy of this prince. But the prince had been kind to her, and they certainly got along so splendidly well. And so it was that the poor, young, plain-looking girl married the prince. They entered the marriage covenant together. Everything that was the prince's was now the poor young girl's. In one day, the poor young girl went from having nothing to all the wealth in the world. Something she could never have dreamed of, and with a man who loved her unconditionally. This is the light of life we have in Jesus. When you and I choose obedience, we are saying this. We cannot be self-loathing. We cannot hate ourselves any longer. The Western world has more depression than anyone else. Australia, by statistic, is the highest out of all the rest of the world per capita. We have the best life in Christ. and in Australia, and in Perth, and in Fremantle, and in Hamilton Hill, in Kooblup, in what's that word? Wellard? In Kwinana, in Leda, wherever you live. Wherever you live, we have the light of Christ. And when we choose obedience, He lights, His light burns away in our hearts, and we love who we are. We love who we are. And there is an amazing sense of His gratitude that comes into our life. And Paul says this, let the Holy Spirit control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns. Who enjoyed our hymn this morning? And spiritual songs. And you will make music to the Lord in your hearts. I'm not much of a singer, but I don't mind actually singing to God. Why? Because I want to allow the Holy Spirit to control me. And this continues into next week, into marriage. And Paul would not live his life without the Holy Spirit controlling him. And when you are filled with His Holy Spirit, you become alert to the truth of God and His Word. And we receive His Holy Spirit into our lives. We allow the Pentecostal experience of receiving another language to come into our life because it actually helps us to live life even better. Knowing what is right and what is wrong because we get that remember that I had an and it ended up being, oh no. But we can choose obedience and live a life that is honoring and following the precepts and laws of our Lord Jesus Christ as written in His Word. Let's stand to our feet this morning, please. I want to take a moment before we finish. Ephesians 5:20. You'll always give thanks for everything to God to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be grateful for. And I want us to sing this morning. I want us to declare over our lives the brilliance of our Lord. Can we do that before we finish? And then, if you're struggling in the area of disobedience, you know you're being disobedient. Who knows that we're all disobedient? Can all the hands go up? We all have disobedient moments, but some of us struggle. Some of us are struggling, and we know that we're not in the will of God. Because you can be disobedient and then go, Lord, I forgive me, and we can move on. But if you know you're struggling, I'd love to pray with you after we finish this song. Thanks, guys.